Hey there, it's Kona Gallagher, host of And Then They Were Gone and Day by Day True Crime Stories, and I'm here to bring you an amazing opportunity to win some incredible prizes, all for a good cause. Join the Texas Advocacy Project's The Big Game Football Squares Raffle on February 9th, 2025, and help support survivors of power-based abuse. For every $100 donation, you secure a square and a chance to win amazing prizes. You can choose from two exciting grids. The Hawaiian Paradise Grid offers a grand prize of a seven-night stay for two at a luxury resort in Oahu or the Big Island. Or play the Beachfront Mexico Grid for a chance to win a four-night, all-inclusive stay for two at a five-star Marival Luxury Resort in Banderas Bay or Nuevo Nayarit, Mexico. Your contributions help survivors understand their rights, navigate the justice system, and secure emergency protective orders. To participate, visit TexasAdvocacyProject.org and select your grid today. Don't miss out. Tune in to the Texas Advocacy Project's Facebook page on February 9th, 2025, during the game for live updates on winners. Prizes are awarded at the end of each quarter, with the grand prize at the game's conclusion. So score big for a cause. Visit TexasAdvocacyProject.org to learn more. Hi there, and welcome to Day by Day True Crime Stories. I'm your host, Kona Gallagher. In this podcast, we take a closer look at crimes and events in justice history that happen on this very day. Today is January 3rd, and we're going back to 1971 to a case that's as unsettling as it is tragic. And what nobody knew at the time is that it was just a hint of what was to come. This is the story of Charlie Brandt, a 13-year-old boy from Indiana whose actions on this day sent shockwaves through his community. But here's the thing. What happened in 1971 isn't the end of Charlie's story. It was the beginning of a far darker story that wouldn't fully unravel until decades later. To understand the story, we need to start with the events of January 3rd, 1971 in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It was a quiet night at the Brandt family home. Just 13-year-old Charlie, his parents, Ilse and Herbert, and his older sister, Angela. Everything seemed normal, but what happened next was anything but. That night, Charlie grabbed a .35-caliber revolver, walked into his parents' bedroom, and shot his mother, Ilse, killing her instantly. She was 8 months pregnant at the time. He then turned the gun on his father, Herbert, shooting him multiple times. Incredibly, Herbert somehow survived, but Charlie didn't stop there. He went to shoot his sister, Angela, but the gun jammed. This gave Angela just enough time to run out of the house and go to the neighbor to ask for help. It's hard to imagine the terror that Angela must have felt, not to mention the confusion, where she's just running from somebody who she loved, who she trusted, who she grew up with. It was her own brother who did this to her family. By the time police arrived, they found Charlie outside of his house, just sitting calmly as though nothing had happened. After the attack, the entire community was stunned. How could a boy as young as Charlie commit such a horrific act? Remember, he was only 13 at the time. Just a kid. Now, of course, this is 1971, and so people didn't know as much about mental health as we do now. So his actions just really seemed unfathomable. But even now, with hindsight and knowing what we know now, it's still hard to wrap your head around somebody doing something like that. And despite being caught immediately, he never really explained why he did what he did on the night of January 3rd. Charlie didn't have a history of violence. In fact, he was described as a pretty normal kid. Psychologists who examined him couldn't find any evidence of abuse or trauma that might explain his actions. Some thought that he must have had just a sudden mental break, while others said that he must have been harboring deep, repressed anger. Nobody really knew, and in the end, Charlie was deemed too young to be tried as an adult. Instead, he spent about a year in a psychiatric hospital before being released. Just a year. It's almost hard to wrap your head around. On one hand, yes, he's a kid, but on the other hand, he committed this brutal crime. So after his year of treatment, his father took him back in. Now, by this time, they moved out of Indiana and moved to Florida for a fresh start. And this fresh start somehow seemed to work. For a long time, it seemed as though the horrors of that night in 1971 were behind all of them. Charlie didn't exhibit any violence, and everybody just kind of kept this a secret. For years, it seemed as though Charlie had truly just left this horrible incident behind him. He graduated high school, he found steady work as a radar specialist, and eventually got married to a woman named Terry. To those who knew him, Charlie was just a regular guy. He was friendly, easygoing, and he and Terry just lived a quiet life in Florida. But as time went on, little details began to surface. Details that didn't seem like red flags at the time, but looking back, are chilling. Terry reportedly told friends that Charlie had some odd habits, like an unusual fascination with anatomy. At the time, this seemed kind of quirky, but hindsight, of course, is 20/20, and knowing what we know now, it's hard not to see those quirks in a much darker light. But even with that, no one could have guessed what would happen in 2004. Now, what's crazy is that this is over 30 years after he attacked his family. And though it seemed like this was all behind him, Charlie's life was about to fall apart in a violent way. In September 2004, Hurricane Ivan was bearing down on Florida. Charlie and Terry decided to stay with Terry's niece, Michelle Jones, at her home in Maitland. Michelle was a bright, accomplished young woman, and she welcomed them into her home as a safe haven, as any family member would do. But what was supposed to be a safe haven for them to ride out the storm turned into a nightmare. At some point during their stay, Charlie seemingly snapped once again. He brutally attacked Michelle, stabbing her to death. The crime scene was absolutely gruesome. He decapitated and dismembered her in a way that showed he had a disturbing knowledge of anatomy. Even worse, after killing Michelle, Charlie turned on Terry, his own wife, murdering her before taking his own life by hanging himself in the garage. The next day, when Michelle's friends couldn't reach her, they went to check on her and discovered the unimaginable scene. Police were called, and what they were greeted with was something straight out of a horror movie. After Charlie's death, investigators began to piece together his life, and what they found was not what his friends would have thought. The quiet, unassuming man maybe hadn't put that secret past behind him after all. Police started looking at Charlie in relation to cold cases all across the state of Florida. One case in particular stood out, the 1995 murder of Darlene Toler, whose body was found decapitated and stuffed into a suitcase along the highway. The details were eerily similar to what he had done to Michelle. While they couldn't definitively link Charlie to Darlene's case, the similarities were too striking to ignore. In fact, some believe that Charlie may have been responsible for several unsolved murders across the state. The idea that he could live a seemingly normal life while carrying out such atrocities is absolutely terrifying. It makes you wonder, how well do we ever really know someone? It's impossible to not wonder if things could have turned out differently. Could someone have stopped Charlie before it was too late? After all, when he was released from the psychiatric hospital as a teenager, there really wasn't much follow-up. He just kind of left Indiana, and it seemed as though Indiana was happy to be rid of him. The understanding of childhood violence at the time was limited. His family relocated, and everybody just kind of agreed to let the past fade away. But even Terry, who spent decades married to Charlie, apparently didn't see the darkness that was lurking just below the surface. And that's really one of the most terrifying aspects of this entire story. The idea that somebody could hide his true self for so long. For Michelle, Terry, and possibly others, those hidden secrets had devastating consequences. Charlie's victims did nothing wrong. Their only mistake was loving this boy, who then turned into a man who was still capable of great violence. Charlie Brandt's life ended in 2004, but the questions about his past and the lives he may have taken linger on. Though he'll never face justice for all of his crimes, his story serves as a reminder of the darkness that some people carry that can be hidden in plain sight. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Day by Day True Crime Stories. If this case resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow for another story from this day in history. Take care of yourself, and more importantly, take care of each other. Day by Day, True Crime Stories is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!
When we're stuck in the same routine, it can be tough to imagine new year possibilities. But sometimes a small change, like refreshing your dinner routine, can make a big difference in your day-to-day. Cook Unity is an easy way to reset your meal habits. Each meal is designed with you in mind, with chef-crafted dishes that bring vibrancy and health to your table. See what's possible with a simple reset. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.